So, Hare Krishna, I'm ready now to address you. I should say that today we have a mixed audience, it seems to me. Some of us are drunken with the happiness of marriage, or of celebrating the marriage of Vasudev, our own Vasudev from Holland, and are here. Yeah, as the guests of this event. Others are community members, I see. Still others are guests who somehow stumbled into this class. And others are the students of the Kirtan course. I think we are already into how many weeks of doing this course?
This is the beginning of the fourth week.
Oh, beginning of the fourth week. So, I want to do justice to all of you, and therefore I have to just pray to Krishna to give me the right inspiration, how to start, how to end it in a structured way, just for a moment.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, I'm
For singing so melodiously. That's very wonderful. I wanted to ask my book supplier, Lakshmi Priya, could you be so kind to find me a Krishna book? And now comes the task. One of the chapters is called Krishna Frees the Imprisoned Kings, or something like that. It's about him coming into the cave which Yarasandra has made. maybe you can be so kind to find that and open it. I'm turning to you because you are next to the exit and you know all the books. Oh, there, even here we have. Everything is closed. You can give to her because she is a scholarly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Affectionately to this class. As some of you, as most of you know, I suppose, we have been running here in Radhadesh a Kirtan course which is informing or equipping our students with musical skills. That means they learn to play the instruments necessary for kirtan and have even voice training. And one of our goals also is to imbibe our students with a deep understanding of the theology or the philosophy or the background of the holy name. And I have been invited for the past years to give a week within the Kirtan course where we talk all about the glories of the holy name and have a lot of exercises and many things which go on. So I will start this evening, but seeing the majority of you who are not participating in this 8 weeks course, and seeing our own Vasudev, who is one of our European heroes, getting married on this auspicious day to Vidya. I owe a debt of gratitude to Vasudev. I will talk in such a way that Vasudev's and Vidya's heart is full of pleasure and inspiration, and also try to address all of you. My own journey with the Holy Name started very young, and I must have told you many times this story, but it was when I was very young, maybe 12 years or 13 years, my mother had gone with me to the center of of Hamburg to shop for birthday presents, because my older brother, who's also a devotee of Krishna, had birthday, and she felt I would know the taste of my older brother and be very good at picking the right birthday presents. So we went, but I could never fulfill that task because before that shopping place there was a Harinam group, devotees who had come from England. They were on a promotional tour of presenting the single, the Hare Krishna Mantra. It was a single which made it to the top of the pops in Germany. They had a promotion tour there. They were dancing and chanting in the winter as the snowflakes came down before this department store. I felt immediately unexplainable attraction. I was a music lover, but this was simple music. But still, I appreciated it very much, and I went directly. Thank you very much. I went to the devotees there, and I was immediately asking them what they were singing and chanting. So the devotees started to explain, but then my mother came and said, "Listen, we have to buy the birthday presents. These are strangers, and your brother is a family member. For whom do you care more?" So I had to go, and in the midst of selecting some presents, youth books or so, I told my mother, "Mother, I have to go to the bathroom." So mother knows everything. She said then, "Okay, go to your nonsense people." And I went down to the devotees, and I stood till my mother came, and before we had to go, I approached one of the devotees and said, "Could you please write down the song for me, the words of the song? I would like to try to sing it." And I still remember it is deeply embedded into my psychology. This devotee who spoke broken German, it came like a rising moon in the darkness of my life. He came into my vision. He wrote down the Hare Krishna mantra, he gave to me. Later I found out he was the late Tamal Krishna Goswami, and he preached to me. I didn't understand a word because it was so broken German, but I understood everything. This is very precious. So then my time to experience the power of the Hare Krishna mantra came when I looked one Saturday a movie of Frankenstein. It's a horror movie. I was forbidden to watch horror movies at 12 o'clock in the night. They always put it at a strategic time. But my parents were business meeting. They were out. I was alone, and I had secured a double key to the TV room. And I looked at the Frankenstein. And when it was over, and the TV was out, I was seized by tremendous fear. I felt so fearful in my childlike mind. I saw Frankenstein in the same room. Then I left the room. I had to pass by the bathroom, and I heard a sound in the bathroom which clearly indicated Frankenstein was hiding in the bathroom to get down to me. So I almost collapsed in fear because he really looked terrifying. So I made it to my sleeping room. And I was alone, so we had a double bed, a high bed and a low bed. And I thought, I reasoned, if I climb to the high bed, I stand better chances that he doesn't find me. But as I was in the high bed, I noticed, my God, he's so tall. He's taller than any usual human being, because he's made of many pieces of the human beings. And I began to fear so much. I thought, I can't survive this night. Then I tried to hide under the blanket, because by the sounds in our old villa, I could hear he was approaching my sleeping room. So then I remembered the moon, that extraordinary devotee who had written the magical words on the piece of paper. I went where I had stored this rule, these words of the Mahamantra. I picked it up. I took a torchlight with me under the cover of the blanket, and 13-year-old small Sachinandandas. First I chanted very softly because my faith was very small. I thought, if he hears me, then he will know where I'm hiding. But then, as I chanted, I remembered the fear went. I developed very much confidence, and I chanted very loudly under my bed cover. Finally, I released the bed cover, and when the next sun rose in the morning, I was blissfully chanting Hare Krishna and forgot the most recent production of the film industry. And I was saved from fear. And I still remember that experience, that this mantra works in removing my fears. That time a childlike fear from seeing a movie which children should not see. That experience has stayed with me for the rest of my life up till now, and but I know now much more that chanting is not only to be done when you are seized by fear. That's only a small result, that fear will leave you. There are many, many other results which are much, much better. Once my spiritual master was asked by a journalist, what do you feel when you chant Hare Krishna? And he answered, I feel no fear. What he was relating to is that according to the Vaishnava philosophy, this world is a world of anxiety, of insecurities. Today, one young couple is supremely happy on their marriage day, but it is not guaranteed that the partners will live a long life. There is accidents, I don't want to talk inauspiciously, but and there are accidents on many levels, in many ways. There's insecurity in the material world. We are not the movers, we are moved by sometimes forces which are beyond our control. This world, therefore, is called Kuntaloka, the world of fear. No, we have one widow amongst us. This happens, no? One widow is here amongst us, testifying that things happen. Things do happen. The moment of death is never the right moment for anyone. It's always dramatic, and other things can go wrong. Many other things. Just mentioning one, when you all think this will never happen to me. So Krishna, what I wanted to express is that the opposite of this, feeling free from anxieties, is that happens when we are either in the spiritual world or on the spiritual level of consciousness, and that happens when we chant the holy name in the proper way. I'm in a little difficult situation. I want to find something for you, but I was given this book, but not exactly the place I'm looking. So now I am left to... Lakshmi Priya, have you found this place or not?
What?
Huh?
Jarasandha is
not Jarasandha, where the kings imprisoned by Yara's Andra are released by Krishna.
It's at the end of the chapter
72. Please excuse me. I really want to find this. Do we have some scholar here amongst you? We can do this. That's what I also thought and what the devotee thought. But the scriptures has... Who is the scholar? You're here. Dina Dayal, you are the head of the scholar of the college.
Head of the college.
So you please... find me this place. Let us see your birth now. In public. It's when the kings are delivered by Krishna. If you need help, go to other scholars. No. You're all so joyful. So, my dear devotees, this result of the holy name to bring us on the spiritual platform is there because the holy name has tremendous potencies in it. Potencies which are only coming from the fact that Krishna is the source of all potencies and he is not different from the name. Why do we glorify the holy name as being so powerful, and why does everyone who chants it properly makes immediate results, has immediate results, like even if he's a child, or even if he's a worldwide acharya, he says, I'm coming to the spiritual platform by chanting where there's no fear. It is because the holy name has this tremendous power which becomes released when someone understands how to chant it properly, or when it chooses to give its incredible mercy even to an uneducated chanter. Therefore, the great teacher of the holy name, the great master, Haridas Thakur, he says, nothing is like the holy name in this world of birth and death. The holy name is the greatest treasure in Lord Krishna's treasure house. I think, well, there are other treasures in Lord Krishna's treasure house, for instance, bhakti, love of Krishna, or another treasure in Lord Krishna's treasure house. I mean, what about the Chintamani jewel, which can create unlimited amounts of gold and wealth just by touching something? That's a treasure, no? Or if you're very spiritual, treasure in Krishna's treasure house could be that one is liberated and attains moksha, a liberation from the repeated cycle of birth and death. But the holy name? Why is the holy name the greatest treasure in Krishna's treasure house? Please consider the answer. For us, it is very difficult to contact God. We don't have the eyes to see Him. We don't have the ears to hear His voice. We don't have the sensorial equipment to perceive Him in any ways. Our mind can't think Him. Nothing which the conditioned soul has can really bring Him in the personal presence of the Lord. But if the Lord so desires, He can descend from His absolutely spiritual domain and come into the perception of the conditioned soul. And this is what is happening when he comes at the Nam Avatar, the avatar of the holy name. He again and again comes on the tongue of the conditioned soul and into the heart of the conditioned soul. And there, when he comes into the heart of the conditioned soul, he does a great service for the conditioned soul. He cleanses he cleanses the heart from all the things which shouldn't be there, so that the conditioned soul, with a clean heart, with the mirror of the heart is now cleansed by the Lord, can then perceive something of the Lord. That's the miracle of chanting. You chant with your conditioned senses, your material tongue. You chant. Krishna sees in his unlimited wisdom that he is a soul who wants to make contact with me. He calls out Krishna, Hare Krishna, as good as he can. Then Krishna comes into the heart. He dispels the ignorance which is there for a long, long time. And thank you very much. And then then Krishna gives the conditioned soul wisdom and devotion, and then by the power of that devotion which the Lord has ignited in the heart, you can see Krishna. Haven't we all made this experience? We come, it was a terrible day. We come into the Radha Gopinath temple in Radha Desh. We sit down, our minds are still all over the place. We are hungry. We are frustrated with our life and the Lord. And where will I get the money for my new mountain bike? Not possible. I'm poor, and so on. And the mind is there, screwed up. Let's not use this New York language. Too many New Yorkers in the room. Don't influence my European English, please. Now we come there and we chant and we look at the deities and we feel nothing. Chant from your heart, yes, everyone else, not me. You know, the kirtan singer says, louder, why? And we are really out of place there. And then we continue to chant, we look at the deities, all of a sudden we feel relief. We feel, after all, that mountain bike is not that important. And lately someone made an accident with it. I don't need it. And we look at the deities and we feel, oh, you are my only Lord. I really only need you. I want you. And some devotion comes into our heart. And our little insignificant world turns into something which is very bright and hopeful. And so that miracle of the holy name can be seen. Therefore, it is called the greatest of Krishna's treasures. Why? Because it is the medicine which works for us in the material world. When you are needing a particular medicine, my dear devotees, then all the other things, cars, money, this and that, a good meal, is becoming secondary. You say, I give my life for a portion of Madhuvani, maybe, you know, the medicine which you need at this moment. So the holy name in the same way is the greatest treasure, because it answers the greatest need. Often it's an unacknowledged need because we are so covered, but it answers the greatest need, that is for the soul which is trapped in illusion to meet its Lord and develop the love and devotion for the Lord. There is a beautiful prayer which I wanted to read to you this evening about this, what happens when we meet Krishna in any form. The Naam Avatar is the most merciful. This prayer is spoken by kings who were in a very, very difficult situation. There was one great demoniac king in India. His name was Jarasandha. He was extremely powerful, and he hated Krishna very much, because he had tried to defeat Krishna in battle, but Krishna had, with a small army, defeated his vast army. And after he had imprisoned him, he had released him and said, "Come back again, try again." This happened for 18 times. Jarasandha was so humiliated afterwards, but the Lord always spared him and asked him, "Bring some more army. You need to learn how to fight." He really hated Krishna. Then the Lord sees his fight. He ran away from Jarasandha, and Jarasandha he then hit on a mountain. Jarasandha put the whole mountain in place, but the Lord jubilantly jumped from the top of the mountain. It was many miles down. It was a mountain, the highest Mount Everest. He jumped in one huge jump and then happily went to Dwaraka, leaving Jarasandha in the belief that he had been finally killed. He had his plan with Jarasandha. So Jarasandha went home and amassed a huge army. All those who were against Krishna joined him. He made alliances with all the kings of, with many kings of the world, and his fighting force became so irresistible that he captured the majority of the kings of India. At that time there were many small kingdoms, and what he did with these kings is he imprisoned them, he brought them to a mountain fort, high security, no one could escape. It was a huge cave within the mountain, and he emaciated them, he gave them very small amount of food, and then he intended decapitate them. So they lived in that fear. Soon the henchmen of Jarasandha will come. They will bring us out of our prison cells. They will bring us to a public place and publicly decapitate us. I mean, this was horrible. If you terrorize a prisoner by telling him you will soon be executed, but you don't give him the date when it is, it could happen any hour. He's totally in fear. So these kings managed to somehow facilitate one of them to escape and go to Krishna and ask Krishna to come and free them. And it is said that Krishna then took this, he asked Uddhava, his minister, what he should do. And Uddhava said to him, yes, go there and free all these imprisoned kings who were there in this cave, you know, subjugated by tremendous physical and psychological torture. And it is described, they were very weak due to hunger, and their faces had lost all beauty and luster. The king's long imprisonment had caused every part of their bodies to become slack and invalid. So then the Lord somehow decided to save them. He entered this cave, and a beautiful description is given. When they saw him, they saw that he had eyes extending up to his ears. He had glittering, sharp-shaped earrings. His helmet was golden, but it was, in addition, bedecked with brilliant jewels, which spread a lot of light. You know, in the old times, the palaces didn't need electrical lightning. They had these tremendous jewels on the walls, and one candle was sufficient to spread light, which would be captured by the jewels and then set around. It was very nicely lit just by one candle, whose light was reflected manifold. So Krishna's jewels just illuminated the whole place, and his whole body was effulgent. Not just the jewels, the bodies also shone with transcendental beauty. When the king saw Krishna, it's described, they just looked at him. They didn't say anything. They looked at him as if drinking nectar through their eyes. As they were standing before Krishna, they felt all their karma, which had brought them into this impossible situation, was washed away, and they felt very relieved and free. And then they said something which I think is very important. They said, "Dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the master of all demigods. You can immediately remove all your devotees' pangs and miseries. It is by your causeless mercy that we have been released from the imprisonment of Jarasandha. But now we pray that you release us from imprisonment within material existence." This prison situation is not a real problem. We suffer from the prison of our mind. We are so imprisoned in material existence. That's the prison. They continue. "Your illusory energy is kept keeping us. Please stop our continuous cycle of birth and death." And then they said, "My dear Lord, we understand that it was probably necessary that you put us into this imprisoned situation because we were so proud. We were marching and proud. We were fighting with less powerful kings, trying to become, to extend our own kingdoms. We were impelled by false prestige, and we were infatuated. We forgot our real goal, but now you have made us humble." and your name is Govinda. You have because you are the reservoir of all pleasure. Please put an end to our miseries. Accept us now as your fully surrendered servants. My dear devotees, for each one of us comes a time when we understand our real need is Krishna. And at that time, we look for shelter. Before this, we have looked only for relief. We are hungry, so we wanted to eat. Tomorrow my time comes for relief. I have had a terrible diet, but tomorrow it's the end. I go to Manu's mother, and I know already what she will. She will surprise us with a non-dietary feast. And I'm looking since half a year to this moment, the relief from the terrible hunger which comes from these crazy diets. This is relief. Oh, when we are very tired, oh, when we can finally sleep, we are relieved. Or when someone feels alone, feels I need a friend, and a friend shows up, we feel relieved. Or when a brahmachari who understands I'm no longer a brahmachari finds a very good Krishna conscious partner, it's a great relief. Wow, now I can march forward. And so on. There are many, many reliefs in the material world. But you know what? You will become hungry again. You will become tired again. You will feel misunderstood again. Relief is not a solution to the problems of material existence. And once you understand that, you look for shelter. Where is that one place? Where is the person who understands me completely and can fulfill my needs entirely and it's in total? Where is that one place where I can be even sheltered from the problems of a disease? No doctor can help me. Where? But where is that one place? Or you feel, sometimes it takes many, let me say, it takes a lot of time before you come there. Sometimes joining a movement can totally distract you from that one relationship with Krishna because you become busy with so many other things and you just forget the point of taking full shelter of Krishna. Can happen in any situation. But when you learn this one question, how do I turn to Krishna? How do I make my life now a full success? Then, immediately you understand, I must turn to the holy name. I must turn to that form of the Lord where he is most accessible. If I hope that he will come in my little apartment like he came in the cave where the kings were imprisoned, that usually the Lord chooses to come in another way. He descends in the form of his holy name. I will be teaching like the last years on the basis of Harinam Chintamani, where we will learn how to take shelter in the Lord's holy name in the form of chanting japa and chanting in kirtan. The author of Harinam Chintamani is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and who had been extremely successful in spreading Krishna consciousness in Bengal. He writes in his own words, "I saw many devotional assemblies appearing in different cities and villages." There was a wave of enthusiasm for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure teaching. It was extremely successful. But then, he says, Kali Yuga seemed to take over again. He says, there were Mayavadis, Indian and foreign yogis. I don't know who were these foreign yogis. Maybe Paul Branton. Sahajiyas, Bose, false acharyas proclaimed and spread their teachings. As a result, sinful propensities began to spread all over again, and unimaginable activities in the name of spirituality began to prosper. I could tell you a few things which would make you faint, but in respect to Vasudev's marriage, I will not say these things. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur read one verse which made him very, very, let us say, depressed but hopeful at the same time. He said, it's from Chaitanya Chandramrita. Would you like to hear that verse?
Yes.
Good. I will take my little orchestra here. The age of Kali is formidable. Hari Prasad, what means formidable?
It's very good. Very strong.
Very strong, maybe, huh?
Powerful.
Yeah. The age of Kali is formidable, very powerful. And the senses of the human beings are also very powerful. Now the path of devotional service is full with millions of thorns. You can understand. I tried to spread Krishna consciousness. I tried to help people, but it's all gone. It's all gone. Where should I go? What shall I do? I'm completely helpless. So he understood this, and he understood, I need to take shelter of the holy name. In 1901, he came to Puri, that's a sacred town in India, with the intention to stay there until his last moment in this world. He built a little cottage, there are photos which I have seen, by taking some driftwood. You know what is driftwood? From the ocean it comes, and making a hut, wooden hut. And then he made a plug before it, and in this plug he describes how he intends to take shelter for the rest of his life. He said, in the plug, and I'm translating, in order to remember the names and qualities of Krishna Murari, he who is known as Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given up everything to come here to the land of Gauranga's pastimes, taking refuge or shelter in this cottage of devotion. He called it the Bhakti Kutir. And he was chanting the whole day. Sometimes people saw him rolling in ecstasy in the sand of the beach, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. He had given up everything. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in a stunning revelation and gave him courage, just like the kings who turned to Krishna saw Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who turned to Krishna in the form of the holy name, saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saving him. At that time he wrote this book Harinam Chintamani, where he shares with us liberally how to chant in such a way that Krishna will rise in the heart like the rising sun, which dispels all the darkness of illusion. During the week, I will give you a small tour through the Harinam Chintamani, and I will try to teach you in simple ways and in practical ways more than anything. I'm sometimes a little theoretical because I like so much these books, but I will teach very practical how you can chant in a way where you take shelter in Krishna's holy name, and how you can chant in such a way that with taking full shelter, Krishna will appear in your heart. I expect after this week that you are all enlightened, self-realized Krishna conscious devotees who will run all over the world making a wonderful spreading Krishna consciousness. Something like that. Yes, I'm quite enthusiastic nature, and even if it is maybe whatever, you will for sure get taste and deep insights which will accompany you for the rest of the life and empower you. So I'm very much looking forward to this time, and I very much wish that our Vasudev Prabhu and his good wife Vidya will be able to fully utilize their wonderful qualities and the blessings which they have received here, and bring them back to America. I think you go back to New York, and I hope that you will take the holy name from here and chant it with great spiritual benefit, so that there is rising of Krishna, and that you simultaneously will rise from your roots again. We are cut from our roots, from our spiritual roots, but when we learn to do Shravan and Kirtan, then we will rise again from those roots, and we will be very empowered Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is how you chant now and after 1 week. I'm making a little advertisement. Good, my dear devotees. Now let us see. Oh, it's already. What do we do now, Manu?
Kirtan.
We do now Kirtan. Enough theory. Now we do Kirtan again. And the deities will also come.
Right, a few minutes.
Few minutes, Acha. Hare Krishna Vasudeva. I try to give pleasure to your heart. Hare
Krishna.
No, this is really, my dear devotees, I'm really speaking. There are not many good things, maybe, but there's one thing which is there by Prabhupada's mercy. Somehow or other, I have great trust that in the holy name there's everything, and it has saved me and kept me in this process. Although I have seen things which you won't believe in my life, but I've always known the holy name, that Krishna is present. That's the gift of my spiritual master to me, and he promised that in his letter to me. He said, you chant this and you will go back to Godhead in this life. He said, don't worry, I'm not what I want to say. He said this to many, all his disciples, it's not that I'm special. He said to everyone, because he also had this firm faith in the chanting of the holy name. He said, in fact, once, I have nothing else. I have brought the holy name, but everything is in there. So, Hare Krishna. We just have to find out, every one of us, how to make it work for us. We are different people. We have to learn how it works for us. Hare Krishna. I will end here because we want to quickly start chanting. Can someone please pray for all these